This week's episode of Hype is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. Welcome to Hype episode 22. We got Marima, Kyle, Josh, and I all here this week. We have a lot of movie news to talk about, actually. And most of it, I tried looking back a few days for older stories, but most of it seems to have taken place within the past week. It has been a busy week in the film world. And we are here to talk about it all. First of all, guys, let's talk about some Harry Potter news, because I miss MuggleCast. The Wizarding World Diagon Alley, Universal's finally taken the cloak off, as I wrote, concerning details, because for the longest time, we really haven't known much. We haven't known about the shops, that what it's going to look like. We've really only had that one piece of concept art. But now a bunch of stuff has come out. We know that the big thrill ride is going to be Harry Potter and the Escape from Gringotts. Did you guys have any initial reactions to all this news? First of all, actually, who's been to the Wizarding World?
Me.
Yes.
Okay.
Me.
You two have.
Well, Josh, you
girl
live
from
in
Australia
the same country. Yeah,
Maine.
I've been. What's your excuse?
I'm lazy. I'm afraid to fly.
Josh doesn't strike me as a theme park person.
I'm not a
actually,
theme.
I used to be.
I was just going to say, Marima's
really?
Not a theme
yeah,
park person.
Yeah, I used to be, but I'm just not anymore.
Oh.
Well,
yeah,
I do want
to
go, though, just for my one time.
Yeah, do it once.
Marima, so I actually, this question's good for you, given that you live on the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Does Diagon Alley and the way it's shaping up, and I know you've been traveling this week, so you haven't read much of the details, but is Diagon Alley a tempting reason for someone like you to go back to the Wizarding World in Orlando?
I mean, I would go if I was already going to be in the States, but I think the thing that I found when I was there is just how small it was, and like I know they're adding all this stuff, but I just keep thinking about how many people are going to be squeezed into this space.
Yes.
And it's so off-putting. But, I mean, there are definitely things here that I think people will be excited to see and would make it a priority to go to if they were, like, in the area, Josh. But, yeah, I can't say, like, I'm desperate to jump on a plane and, like, fly over to see these things just to see these things.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, the inherent problem with this stuff is that so many people are always, you know, inside of them, so you can't ever really enjoy it like you hoped.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing happens at the studio tour, so I guess it's kind of, you can't avoid it if it's Potter, but it's a shame.
Yeah. Actually, I enjoyed it, like, all, I had a season pass to Wizarding World, and I was able to go to the Wizarding tour. Maybe it was just slow for the Wizarding tour in London, but it wasn't that many people when I went there. And even though there are a lot of people at the theme park, I still have a lot of fun. Like, when there's like a 2-hour line at the Hogwarts ride, I love it because this gives you a chance to like look around and like actually experience the queue that they've built and not kind of run through everything.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I've noticed in the evenings, the crowds get a lot better. In the morning, I think, is when it's always busiest there. But yeah, there just really is a lot of... It'll be interesting to see if they fix the walkway problems. And the concept art doesn't really seem to suggest that they're going to do that. The reason they make these areas so compact is, in their words, they've said, we have done this, at least for the original Wizarding World, Hogsmeade. We have done this to make it realistic to the books and films, which is great, and it looks fine, but it's just crowd issue wise, it doesn't work. So it'll be interesting to see if they at least figure out the ways people walk around it, because there's some big problems right now, like Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. They dump you out right into the gift store, and the gift store is so crowded. It's just like, it was a mess. Probably still is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
horrible. We were there in July. And it was like, yeah, it was packed. But I have to say, like, looking at the, especially the list of shops that they've got for Diagon Alley, I feel like that is going to help a lot of that, because one thing I thought when I was at Wizarding World was like, why do they only have one shop? And it just seemed like such a waste because, I mean, purely financially, they could be making so much more money if they had all of the various things. So maybe because they're splitting it up into like you have the robe store and you have the Weasley store, and maybe that will help that a bit because it's not everyone going to one place to get everything.
There's even
it can't hurt.
There's even an animal store, Magical Menagerie.
Yeah,
like, so people really can go and get their, this time.
Right, they can go and get their owls and stuff. I was so surprised they didn't do this initially.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is kind of what I expected that it would be in the first place, so it makes sense that they're doing it now.
I guess because they were nervous about how people, how successful it would be, but now they know, so.
Yeah, I'm just happy that they're not all fake shops anymore, and they're going to actually have more of them. It was really disappointing walking there and going, oh yeah, there's that red, oh no, it's,
oh, there's nothing,
it's fake.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's looking good. One of the surprises yesterday was actually we got to see inside the Hogwarts Express, which you'll be able to ride from Hogsmeade to Diagon Alley. It looks good, but again, the lines for this are going to be insane because there's three trains and you could probably fit 5 to 6 people per cabin. And I mean, I just can't imagine what that wait time is going to be like. This ride is not built to hold a lot of people, so it'll be interesting. But it was cool we got to see the inside of the train already, that's already finished.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's all the Harry Potter news we have for now. Let's move on to the Disney movie sweeping the world, Frozen. It continues to do really well at the box office. Everybody loves it who's seen it. Has everybody seen it here?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can hear it in your voices. Y'all just sound happier. Frozen is coming back to theaters as a sing-along beginning January 31st. There's going to be a, quote, magical bouncing snowflakes that will accompany the sing-along version. And you have to check your local theaters for showtimes. Is anybody going to go to this?
No.
No, I don't want to hear other people.
I hate this.
Ruin these songs.
Yeah, that's
this
the
is
thing.
My least favorite thing to do in a movie is to listen to people who can't sing try and sing along.
Right. I mean, this is obviously for kids, but some of our readers have been interested as well. I've seen the comments and the feedback on Twitter. It just would be really uncomfortable for me to sing in a movie theater. I don't know.
I just don't want to listen to the other people. I'm assuming they're not going to be very good.
She could go by herself.
Yeah, would you sing yourself if you had the theater to yourself?
I mean, that would just be like me annoying my neighbors with karaoke, which I do currently. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
That sounds like that can work. So this is a really good idea. I mean, Disney, even though there was some trouble at the beginning when they kind of promoted it strangely, now they've just really capitalized on the popularity of it. So, speaking of that, actually, the DVD and Blu-ray are going to be coming out March 18th. And before that, if you can't wait until then, you can get the digital download version beginning February 25th. So that's what's going on with Frozen. In Hunger Games news, we got the Mockingjay Part 1 teaser poster. And it looks just like, in terms of style, it looks just like the Hunger Games and Catching Fire teasers with the bird in the, you know, the emblem. And this one's probably my favorite, though. The Mockingjay spreading its wings.
Yeah.
Just looks badass, doesn't it?
It does look badass.
Yeah.
And I have to think that promotion is going to be starting really soon because we're less than a year away. And this time last year, we already had stills from Catching Fire. So we're definitely due for some stuff. Do you guys have the Hunger Games pins?
Yes.
No.
I went around Comic-Con like searching for those things.
Yeah. They're all over there.
I should have?
What?
Is that a thing that I should have?
Yeah, all the cool kids wear them.
Oh, okay.
It's
you get like the legit metal ones?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They sell them. I think they sell them at like Hot Topic, probably.
Yeah, but why sell them when you can get them for free at Comic Con?
I know how long you spent on that show floor. Like, that was a lot of effort. I was not willing to put in that much effort.
It was a lot.
Marimo would rather pay $7 at Hot Topic.
Hot Topic is, but probably, yeah.
I got it from my friend, and they were like, oh, we only have one left. And I'm like, sorry, dude, they didn't have any more.
Sure. Yeah,
my friend Kyle.
You're a horrible person.
But before we jump away from that, I actually have breaking news. A new press release reveals that the Catching Fire DVD will be released March 7th. So you'll get Frozen and Catching Fire in March.
Except not in Australia, I bet you.
Well, maybe.
You can only hope.
There's going to be audio commentary with director Francis Lawrence and producer Nina Jacobson, deleted scenes, and a sneak peek of Divergent. All right, promote that. We're going to continue with today's episode of Hype in just one moment, but first it's time to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook to consider is The Wolf of Wall Street. This is technically the movie tie-in edition, but you may not have known this. The movie is actually based on a book by Jordan Belfort. By day, he made thousands of dollars a minute. By night, he spent it as fast as he could. From the binge that sank a 170-foot motor yacht, crashed a Gulfstream jet, and ran up a $700,000 hotel tab, to the wife and kids who waited at home and the fast-talking, hard-partying young stockbrokers who called him king, here, in Jordan Belfort's own words, is the story of the ill-fated genius they called the Wolf of Wall Street. You can get this book for absolutely free, maybe before you see The Wolf of Wall Street starring Leonardo DiCaprio, directed by Martin Scorsese, or maybe after if you want more details. If you want to hear from the author himself, just to see how loyal Leonardo DiCaprio's portrayal was. Actually, I saw a recent interview with Jordan Belfort, and he said that he spent hundreds of hours with Leonardo DiCaprio so he could properly prepare for the role. So now you can read the book for absolutely free to see if he lived up to expectations. Audiblepodcast.com/hype. You can get this book or any one of the 150,000 other options for free. Audiblepodcast.com/hype. Thank you, Audible, for your support of the show. Jumping back to Disney news, we learned this week from a entertainment site who has been reliable. They do have good sources, but they're not always reliable. They say that Pixar is developing a Star Wars movie for Disney. Josh, what was your first reaction? Was it one of surprise, or was it one of like, this had to happen eventually?
I guess I wasn't that surprised. People seem to be really bummed out about it, but they're going to use the material where they can. So it's not that surprising. And I don't think it kills any, like, you know, idea of what the films are to the fans. I think they just should just let it happen, see what happens.
Can it be success? Like, it'll be successful, but doesn't it just seem weird to you that Star Wars gets animated by Pixar? It doesn't feel right to me.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it is weird.
I feel like it would just be too
I think that
odd.
Feature image gets people like the wrong idea, because you're like,
that's
maybe
true.
Not. But they do make great films, you know. So I don't know. I'm not that
well,
worried.
I'm so excited about this. I literally discovered this like 1 minute ago. This is so exciting. Why are we not more excited? I love Pixar and I love Star Wars. This will be amazing.
I love Pixar too. It's just that it seems bizarre to me because Pixar never uses existing stories. They just, other than their own sequels, they always develop their own stories.
I guess it just makes sense to me because like they already have all of the what am I trying to say? Like the framework in place, I suppose, to make like various animated movies, and they have the rights to it. So mm-hmm. why not do it? If they've got a cool story that they want to do, like, why not do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Little flipping people with lightsabers going to look awesome.
Yeah. I love animated movies, and this is so exciting. So,
do you ever watch any of the Star Wars animated series?
I actually haven't. No.
See?
So, should I get into that?
Maybe you should.
They're kind of serious, though. Like, I feel like the Pixar movie will be funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then,
or do you think it's going to be like serious?
Well, that was the question.
It'll be like kind of funny, but also heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
It should be like a balance of up. Up is a good balance, I think.
So it breaks your heart at the beginning, and then it tries to make you feel better during it.
With a talking dog, yeah.
Yeah, that's been one big debate, is what kind of audience would it appeal to. I don't think it would be a big mistake if they made it just for kids. So obviously they're not going to do that. Like, it's not going to be a Cars movie. It'll appeal to a, like Marima said, it'll be emotional and sad to appeal to an older audience and fun to appeal to the younger audience. It just seems awkward to me.
Do you guys see the meme in the comments?
No.
Scanned off, and it says, "So it begins, the great shitstorm of our time." Oh, Disney.
Yeah, a lot of our commenters don't seem thrilled. But Disney bought Lucasfilm for $4.8 billion, and they gotta make their money back.
Yep.
I mean, just if you don't like it, don't go and see it. Like, they're making other Star Wars movies. You're going to have things to go and see.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is they're fleshing out everything, and you're bound to find something that you like, you know?
Yeah.
And again, this is not official yet by any stretch of the imagination, so don't put too much stock in it just yet.
But it's true.
Josh has his money set on it being true. If it is true, it probably won't happen until like 2020.
Yeah, it's like all this stuff is happening so late.
Yeah,
we have time to get used to it.
Yeah, I can't see them releasing it anytime in between these episodes films, because they also have the standalone movies, the live action standalone movies, apparently being released in between the years where there's no episode movies. So
yeah,
this is at least 2019, 2020.
And these fully animated films take quite a while to make. So
right. Little more Disney news. I heard from a Lana Del Rey fan who was very excited about this. It's actually how I found out about it. Lana Del Rey is set to release Once Upon a Dream, a cover of the song, for the live action Disney movie Maleficent. Once Upon a Dream is from Sleeping Beauty, the 1959 animated film. This song, I'm sure you saw this movie a long time ago. I listened to this song, and it is not something you would imagine Lana Del Rey singing. So it's probably going to be a dark interpretation. Her cover is so.
Does she normally sing darker songs opposed to?
Well, she doesn't normally sing like this. I mean,
right?
Yeah. Have you heard? Have you listened to this?
I love.
She repeats herself a lot, so I don't know.
And
I think this could be cool.
Do you? Do you like Lana?
I don't mind her. I think she's kind of got a good thing going, I suppose.
As long as I don't look at her face while I'm watching the song.
Ooh, ouch.
Not that she's not pretty. I just meant like the way she emotes. Like,
oh, she does weird things with
songs,
her face.
She just does weird things, and so I laugh about it. But when I hear the songs on the radio, it's, you know, I think they're great.
Right. Say it, playing video games. I mean, that's how it's going to sound.
Perfect.
I already forget
really
how
close.
How does Once Upon a Dream go? Let's see if we can listen to it.
Oh, you, I walked with you once upon a dream.
This is not Lana's voice
at all. I think it's right down her alley.
I could totally imagine her singing this.
Yeah, me too, but it'll definitely be a different interpretation. Like, I feel like they'll make it kind of moody and, yeah, like a bit darker, like you said.
What's up on a dream?
Yeah.
You kind of have it down. That's weird.
Quit your day
it's
job.
You, it's you. It's all for you, Maleficent.
You sound like a drunk guy, a drunk gay guy at a karaoke bar.
That's sort of what she does. That's her thing. Anyway, she has a new album that's coming out maybe this year as well. So all the Lana fans are very excited. Speaking of soundtracks, Ellie Goulding, here's another one I like to impersonate. She is going to be the voice of, she's going to be Triss's musical voice in Divergent, which I think is a really cool idea. If you've heard her music before, you know she has this kind of wispy, airy voice that fills her songs. So she says that for the soundtrack, she went in with the composer, Hans Zimmer, and kind of inserted her voice in with the instrumentals, but not with lyrics. She just sort of made voices. She said, quote, she kind of was woven into the instrumental bits of the soundtrack. So I think this is a really cool idea. She also wrote a new song for the Divergent soundtrack. And apparently two other songs are, that she's already released are going to be somehow involved.
Yeah, she has a cool voice.
This is like, this is a good move, I think, to help increase the popularity and awareness of Divergent, because it's definitely going to need help to live up to the hype.
Yeah, so. They're building up the hype for sure. Like, building up the real hype, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, her new song is titled, is it mentioned? Beating Heart. So, can't wait to see
How does she sound? You have to do an impersonation now.
She's like,
I kind of heard
it. Oh, you just made my day.
Transit for... No, that's really bad. She actually has a really good voice.
I love her. She's great.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I always think it's... what's my favorite song?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Anything Could Happen. That's a great song.
Anything could happen.
Yeah,
between
exactly.
Between and Four.
Mm-hmm. It sounds exactly like that. I always think it's weird to cast someone as like someone's singing voice, though. But, you know, whatever.
What do you mean? Wait, what?
Like it's always weird to cast someone as like the musical voice of someone or whatever.
Oh.
But that's not actually them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I always find that weird.
Yeah.
Is it to represent them or to be them?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, is
it's
it to...
not to be them? I think it's just a. It's I think by
like
calling...
she's a female voice and she's playing or she's representing the female in the film.
So like maybe during the triumphant moments, you'll hear her belting out some like triumphant noises.
I got it.
But no words.
Right.
No words.
Right. It'll be cool. I really do like her voice for this exact reason. So
got it
yeah.
Too.
Well, I love Hans Zimmer. So like if they kind of worked on it a bit, that would be cool.
Yeah. Zed is also going to be on the soundtrack, which I love Zed, so I'm excited about that.
Is he playing the male, the guy
the male,
voice?
Yeah, he's Four's voice with some dubstep. By the way, my favorite Ellie Goulding song is definitely Burn.
Yeah, that's I was like going to say, Burn's the one I
that's
like.
A good song, but I like Anything Could Happen. You're not going to change my mind.
No, I'm not trying to change your mind.
Oh, you sounded very like... Obviously, it's Burn. Gosh. Like,
I think it's Lights. Lights is her best song.
That's a good one, too.
No. Don't even.
She has a bunch of good stuff.
She's great. I like her a lot.
So, Josh, tell us about this Batman versus Superman news. How about, first of all, let's mention the release date delay. Should have.
Okay.
My fault. So,
Batman versus Superman was coming out July 17th, 2015.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. And they pushed it back to 2016. And it's not just a few months. It's like 10 months, I think.
Yeah, it's basically
it's May 6th, 2016 now, which puts it against Marvel's unknown movie currently. But it was going near, the Avengers sequel. So it's kind of like they moved it away from one evil to another. Mm-hmm. But I guess right now the Avengers look scarier than an unknown film. So I guess they just, the official response was that they wanted to spend more time on the script, but I don't know. 10 months to me is like we fucked up or something.
Well, I actually, it's interesting you mentioned that because I read an article about this, debating this, and they think because even if they had to push it 4 weeks.
Yeah, even if it was a few days, they said the release date gets pushed until the next scheduled time.
Because like they had reasons for why summer wouldn't work, fall wouldn't work, spring.
Yep.
So
yeah, I read that too.
And you know, I mean, what's the rush, really? They're liars. What's the rush, though? I mean, like, I guess it's disappointing for Batman fans, but
no, I honestly think it's good because they were putting too many people in this movie and it was going to be a mess, and they may have a chance to fix it now.
This is the third. I'm going to look right now. You guys remember we had an article that pointed out all the big movies coming in 2015. And that article is slowly getting smaller.
Getting smaller.
Because there has now been four films that have been pushed out of 2015. First, there was Pirates of the Caribbean, Finding Dory, and Avatar 2. Those were all set or rumored for 2015. And now Batman versus Superman has been pushed. So now it's four less films.
Hey, but Ant-Man got pushed into Superman vs. Batman's previous release date, so it got moved up like 2 or 3 weeks.
That's good. And I mean, you know, Star Wars, that was set for summer 2015, then that got pushed to the very end of 2015, and that really, I mean, that could still get pushed to 2016, right?
Yep. Ant-Man got pushed 3 times so far.
Wow. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens.
Is the movie done? They're just trying to put it like wherever it fits.
Right. Maybe we'll move it another year. I mean, who's excited for Ant-Man? With a name like Ant-Man,
there's
actually
a lot of Ant-Man fans.
Really?
But I'm not one of them personally, but whenever I write about the news, it's always really big. So,
just this idea. I agree. I don't know. I don't know if I want to go to a theater. I know Paul Rudd's
in it. Well, it's just like any other, you know, it's just like any other comic book movie.
But it's an
ant. I like Paul Rudd. I'll go see him.
I don't want to see a movie with an ant in it.
He's not an ant.
I don't think he's actually an ant.
No,
like,
he just turns,
I think you've misunderstood
either small
the
or
title.
Big. Yeah.
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 He's either
a small
really
guy.
He's really, he can turn himself small or then be normal size.
But he's got this stupid helmet and like this concept, like this
no,
art
that's
from
the
comics.
Concept, just concept art. But yeah, he may end up having like antenna and stuff.
It sounds like
that.
The adult version of My Secret World of Alex Mack.
I don't want to see any movie where they cover up Paul Rudd's face with anything.
Well, maybe in the scenes when he's at home.
I'm sure he won't have it on all the time.
Yeah. Just walk around with antenna.
Batman doesn't wear his cowl the whole time.
So what about this Gal Gadot news? She signed a 3-picture deal to play Wonder Woman. What does that mean?
It means that she signed the average deal that every other comic book person signs.
Okay.
Because normally you sign a picture for a big movie, like, you know, Avengers, and then you sign one that's just for you and, you know, just for Wonder Woman. So that's kind of announced without being announced, is that there will be a Wonder Woman film if she does well as Wonder Woman in Superman vs. Batman. Mm-hmm. And it means that there will be another film with her that's unknown. So it's essentially what everyone signs on for whenever they do a comic book character now.
So, I mean, this potentially means, though, that there's a lot more Justice League to come.
They hope so.
Yeah.
Man of Steel didn't make as much money as they probably hoped. I think it made like $660 million, which is probably about 200 and some less than they would have hoped.
So that's why they're adding Batman.
So that's why they're adding Batman. They're trying to double their efforts. But yeah, I mean, I actually like this actress. People don't seem to like her that much, but
she's pretty.
I think she'll be good.
And then there was some news about Quentin Tarantino. He had this new Western in the works called The Hateful Eight. And his script leaked, and then he decided he's not going to make it.
Yeah, that was a bummer. He sent it to like 6 people, I think, and then one of them gave it to their agent.
Yeah. one mother effing person.
And there's mother effing agents that can't keep their mouth shut.
And some people were saying it was, they read the script. It's online. Gawker has it online. But some people were saying that it's just, it wasn't good, but it was a first draft. So
yeah,
you shouldn't hate on it too much.
It's hard to hate on Quentin Tarantino stories. I mean, even if people don't like him, he's right. Usually pretty good.
He said he was very, very depressed. Poor Quentin.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I mean, people spend years on that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, he still could have done it. I mean, it sucks.
He's usually kind of like he has like a shock factor to all his films where you don't really know what it's going to be or True. You don't really know what it's going to be about. So I think he might have been kind of discouraged by that.
But why would this one leak? What? How about these other movies that he's done?
I don't know. I guess just bad luck.
He's pulling a Stephanie Meyer here. Like Midnight Sun leaked, and then she was like, "Oh no, now I can't release it."
Yeah, he's kind of a passionate guy, so I can see him, you know, finding out about this and being like, "Just F it, I'm not doing it."
Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll change his mind. We'll see. Did any of you read Captain Underpants as a child?
No.
Yeah, all the time.
Yes.
No.
I believe Kyle did.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did too, actually.
I loved those books, man. I thought they were hysterical.
Yeah,
hey,
they were good.
Not for that reason.
I was around when the first one. I mean, I was right in that the perfect age for reading them when the first one came out, which is the one that Louis featured in this article. So they're making a movie out of it, and it's going to be animated, and the voice cast is led by Kevin Hart and Ed Helms.
I was hoping it was live action.
I know. Okay.
I don't.
What?
Why would you want that live action?
Oh, no, I don't know. Kevin Hart is almost the right size for that character.
Hart will play the character George Beard, while Thomas Middleditch will play Harold Hutchins. And then Captain Underpants will be played by Ed Helms, I suppose. And it's going to be directed by Rob Letterman, who also directed Monsters vs. Aliens. That's another animated movie. And the script was written by Nick Stoller, who wrote the Muppets and the upcoming Muppet sequel, Muppets Most Wanted. So I'll check this out.
Ever.
Hmm?
Who has the best commercials ever?
Yes, they do.
Commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen those, Marima?
No.
Oh, they probably only are there.
In the trailer. Yeah.
Muppets. I bet it doesn't even come out next.
I forget. Australia is our bastard child.
Hey. It's, I've seen, no, the Muppets trailers are playing in front of like every single film that I've seen recently, but I haven't seen any commercials. But
yeah,
that
they had
could
like these funny commercials where they like poke fun at people who comment on in the internet. It's hard to explain. You got to watch it.
I'll YouTube it.
I'll link it to you.
The Oscar nominees were announced earlier this week or last week. And our own Jimmy Bean was there to take in all of the sights and glamour of the 5 a.m. announcement.
Yeah.
In Beverly Hills. I don't know if we want to talk about the nominees. Did anything stand out to anybody? It's just sort of a repeat
of
the Golden
Globes. It's weird to me that Matthew McConaughey is getting nominated for all of these things now, because I can never take him seriously.
Why?
I don't know.
He did really well this year.
I haven't seen the movie that he's nominated for, but I just always took him as a joke. He was always in these really stupid romantic comedies.
Well, that's the thing. He like changed up. Last 3 years, he's just like done crazy good films.
Not to mention, he's awesome in True Detective, the new HBO show.
Yeah, that's a great show. Yeah.
And so Best Picture nominees are American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, The Wolf of Wall Street. I like how they put up to 10 nominees in the Best Picture category.
Me too.
I have only seen one of those, and now I feel like a bad person.
I have seen four.
Four, five, six. I've seen seven. That's
nice.
Pretty good.
That is good.
That's good job.
No, I have the other ones coming on Blu-ray, so I'll watch
them. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to watch these. The movie theaters always have these good deals this time of year where you could see all the movies for one price.
Yeah, Louis was he's doing that.
So yeah, that's cool.
I think it was like $75. I don't know if that's a good deal.
I mean, for what is it here? Nine films. So that's not bad. That's like $8-$9 a film.
You pay $75 and you can see all of the films.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's over 2 days.
Isn't it?
Oh, I don't think they do that here. But if they do, I'm sure someone will correct me in the comments.
And he probably gets like a popcorn or like a free popcorn.
One popcorn.
One popcorn, nine movies.
One
got two of those tickets for like $11 each.
What? Yeah, he did. He screwed over the theater. Yeah. Well, we probably shouldn't tell everybody. Yeah.
That's cheap.
I'm trying to look at the... Oh, yeah, there's a couple surprise nods. Like, The Lone Ranger got a couple of nominations.
That's like a pity nod.
Visual effects and makeup. And Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, that got a makeup nod. It's like, come on. I mean...
No, well, like, Leonardo DiCaprio is kind of a surprise because... He just doesn't normally get nominated.
How about the Hunger Games Catching Fire? Why wasn't that nominated for Best Makeup and Hairstyling?
Yeah, no,
they never like to nominate any fandom stuff ever.
Yeah, fantasy and things. Mm-hmm.
Except Lord of the Rings, which
and yeah, but that was, it was like the last one. Maybe when Mockingjay comes out, Hunger Games will get them.
Yeah, they could make an Oscar push. It's all about promoting.
Harry Potter did.
The two films might suck, so it might be too late.
Well, yeah, like Josh just mentioned, Warner Brothers did a big Harry Potter push for Deathly Hallows Part 2. So.
Oh, yeah, that did well.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it got some nominations, right?
No.
Yeah.
It didn't even get nominations?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it did. I think that was the whole deal, wasn't it? That it got snubbed entirely?
It had to have.
No, it totally got snubbed. I remember like the HP fandom going crazy about it.
Okay, well, it didn't get...
They could have given, like, a hair and makeup or something.
Right. It didn't get the big categories, but it was nominated in Best Achievement in Makeup, Best Achievement in Visual Effects, and Best Achievement in Art Direction. So, there's
Oh,
three.
Are you reading these? Yeah. Okay. I was looking them up.
I just found it.
Andrew does his research.
I'm a Googling pro. It was on IMDb. When Warner Brothers was trying to push Deathly Hallows for Oscar, they sent out this booklet with The Hollywood Reporter, which all the industry people get around here, aka all the Oscar voters. And somebody I know gave me it, and it's this beautiful book, just beautifully printed, has some beautiful stills from the final movie, and it, you know, says for your consideration. When I got it, I posted it online. It was really nice, and so I could see Lionsgate doing a similar thing for Mockingjay Part 2, and I'm sure Warner Brothers will do that for The Hobbit as well.
I'm sure they will.
And I'm pleased to tell everybody that we didn't screw up much last year. Hypeable will once again be attending the Academy Awards. Jimmy will be going for us. He's very excited. And he's getting
his tux ready.
Yes, his tux rental ready.
Yeah, well, he looks the best in a tux. That's actually how we decide who goes.
Yeah.
Slash, I did not want to go through the hell of that whole day. But he likes it, so I'm like, please, you go. So, you know, of course, we'll have our regular live coverage. It's still over a month away. We'll have our regular live coverage.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
And he's going to be in the winner's room, right?
Yes, he'll be in the winner's room. He can ask the stars questions as they come off their acceptance speech.
He'll be standing right there on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
I told him he has to ask Jennifer Lawrence why American Hustle keeps winning. Because it's a crappy film.
I haven't seen it yet. I need to see that.
I thought it was okay.
Or why she wins anything in it when she's only in it for like 5 minutes.
Right. It's not a crappy film. It's not Oscar worthy.
It's not her best film. You know what I mean? It's like, why is she winning for it?
But even like, but it won Best Picture at the Golden Globes, didn't it? Like,
yeah.
that's absurd.
It's probably just because of the ensemble cast.
Yeah, and Harvey Weinstein knows how to woo over the voters, I think. The Golden Globes are apparently are totally BS, like, in terms of who votes. I don't know enough to say more about it, so I won't.
Yeah, well, the foreign press, it's pretty, you know, that's pretty much what they want, is pandering to the mm-hmm. foreign press.
It did win at the Golden Globes Best Musical Comedy. I forgot that they split the top award. So Best yeah. Drama went to 12 Years a Slave, which is a great film. Fault in Our Stars. The trailer seems to be set for Valentine's Day. So you'll be able to cuddle up with your loved one and watch the Fault in Our Stars trailer, which is 2 minutes and 17 seconds, as noted by the Alberta Film Ratings Board up in Canada, who rated the trailer for everybody to watch this February. Thank you, the fine people of Alberta. There was a new still as well, and there continues to be drama over the fact that Hazel, in a few of these still, or a couple of these stills, is not wearing her cannula.
I think it's cannula.
Cannula.
I think so.
She's not wearing her cannula, which is...
Oh, didn't they address this already?
Kind of.
In the previous
really.
Picture?
John Green said that there's... John Green mentioned that there is a reason as to why she's not wearing her cannula. But
he did?
People,
she got cured.
But people just... yeah, I think they thought it was just for when, like, they went to, like, Anne Frank's house. And then, like, when that news still came out, people were like, wait, she's not in Frank's house and she still doesn't have her cannula.
But there was a leaked still where she, from Amsterdam, where she does have it in. She's got her little air pack that she's carting around. But the Anne Frank still, yeah, that one did not have it. She wasn't wearing it. And
now it looks like they're just on vacation somewhere.
Well, they are. They're in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I nailed it.
So, but the poster, she is wearing it. So we'll see. The real question is, how often does it show up in the trailer? I know one concern for a big movie studio is that, can she wear it the whole time? Can it still be a marketable film when there's a girl wearing that device?
It's weird how that's such a, you know, iconic thing. You know what I mean? It doesn't
well, you know
seem that
how
big
readers...
of a deal to me.
Yeah, well,
we just get really picky about what's in it.
No, I'm saying having it in. I don't understand what the big deal is, like, commercially. Yeah, are you that worried? People know what type of movie this is by now.
Right, and it's not like you can't recognize Shailene Woodley with it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like she disappears from the two tubes.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if they don't have it in, it's
Andrew's
like
a
like
movie
a
exec. He's
problem.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
this isn't right. She needs
I don't
to
like
not
the
wear
cannula.
Them. No, I think she should be wearing them at all times. At least all the times that.
Yeah, like, she might die.
Right, and she should only take it off when she takes it off in the book. Simple as that.
It's an adaptation.
It's an adaptation. It has to be loyal. Well, and I do mean that because readers. We're really attached to this book, so.
I mean, the thing with this is, like, it's not like Hermione wearing the wrong color dress. Like, she can't breathe without it.
Right.
She has cancer and, you know, like, water in her lungs and everything. That's kind of the entire point.
Right.
So, it's kind of a big deal if they minimize, I guess, her disability or her reliance on it.
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of, like, oh, look, she's, like, pretty and normal and...
Look, she doesn't
like,
have cancer for a
worry.
Second.
Right, let's not worry about this. Yeah, I think it is a big deal if they cut it out.
No, I just meant it's not a big deal to me if she's wearing it the whole time. You know, like, as a...
Yeah, me either.
As a spectator, I'm like, I don't care. That's what the movie's about.
You could also argue for this still in particular, like, Ansel's... Gus is looking into the camera... Maybe they're like posing for a picture and they didn't want them in the photo. Like as a character perspective, like, oh, let's take a picture here on the water, but let me take them out real quick.
They just look very healthy in this picture.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then again, though, there's that Anne Frank photo where she isn't wearing them. So, and she just climbs stairs, and that scene, like, she's really struggling, so she needs them.
Shouldn't they be a little, like, paler? I feel like she just left.
Well, now we're getting really...
Judge is so concerned. I mean, we've only seen, like, 4 stills from this.
Yeah,
so
I'm not worried about
to
it.
Give them the benefit of the doubt that, that they're going to do it.
He's apparently great, so it'll be good.
I think they look really good.
Yeah, this picture looks good, I think.
I just feel bad for John Green, who's going to have to endure all these book-to-film complaints over the next few months.
Yeah. Because
he seems like such a nice guy, he's going to get so, like, torn to shreds.
Exactly. I mean, he fielded so much crap for that poster and the taglines.
Yeah, it's like one tagline changed the whole planet.
It's kind of his fault, though, like, for getting so involved in it. You know what I mean? Like, Marcus Zusak is a good example because we just had the Book Thief movie that came out, and he was very upfront from the start about it being like 2 separate things, and he wasn't getting involved, and like, yes, he visited set once and that was it. And so people haven't been at him about, oh, they changed this and they changed this and they changed this. Whereas I feel like John Green is going to get a lot more of that.
Well, like JK, John Green says it, it's like,
she stepped away.
Yeah,
right, exactly, same deal.
Like, John Green said that it was, like, a really loyal adaptation. And, they, like, isn't this the movie that they said that almost every line of dialogue from the book was going to be in the movie?
Yeah, he said that.
Yeah, I feel like he isn't the one who's like, oh, I have to be involved. And, like, the director was like, hey, we really want you to be a part of it. And because it's going to be so good of an adaptation, that's why he feels so strong about it.
No, what I mean is just... That's
like,
fine.
No matter what, people are just gonna get upset.
No, it's kind of 2 separate issues, I think, because he is making himself more involved by, like, always, like, he visited set multiple times and he was always tweeting photos of him with the cast and, like, talking about, like, on his vlog thing and all of that stuff.
Yeah,
so he could have downplayed it. Yeah, he could have downplayed it a lot more.
Oh, got it.
Even though
the appearance that he's always around. So it's right. Like, if something goes wrong, then it's his fault, obviously.
Yeah, and even if he's not involved in the creative decisions, he gives the appearance that he's on set. So, like, if stuff goes wrong, people will be like, well, why didn't you...
Or he endorses it.
Like, why didn't you... Yeah, he's basically endorsing it all. So,
exactly.
You know, he's just going to get a lot more...
That's okay.
And feedback.
Let's do an article on this. John Green, this is your fault.
You're too damn close.
You were too involved. Now everybody's blaming you.
Yeah.
It's a very good point. Actually,
well, we argue about it before the film comes out. I mean, the film could be incredible, so
yeah,
yes, it's
but
too early to tell.
Find something to complain about.
Oh, yeah, but that's if the film is good,
complain to John Green.
If we see the how do you pronounce it again, cannula?
I think that's
so awkward.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Correct me, that's how I would say it.
If we see the cannulas in the trailer for the majority of it, I think that's a good sign.
Agreed.
Yep.
Google, how do you pronounce cannula?
Cannula.
Cannula.
Yes. I was right.
Cannula.
She was right.
I was so right.
Cannula.
That's just how I would say it. That was actually me. I actually did the recording for that.
They get all Australian voice actors.
I have a very deep voice.
Cannula.
Cannula. Cannula. Okay, so... little more movie news before we move on to TV. X-Men Days of Future Past, a new trailer's coming?
Monday.
Wow.
It just announced late last night, so I didn't release the article till this morning. But they released a little snippet of the trailer that's like flashes of Jennifer Lawrence and Michael Fassbender, basically, so they can sell more tickets. Monday, it's not much. It's like an Instagram video. So it's like...
No, I was going to say they should have saved the trailer for the Super Bowl.
Well, they may still. It just says a reveal will happen on Monday. So I'm assuming that it's a trailer because they released a Instagram video of the trailer.
Right. Okay, that
exciting.
Makes sense.
Yay.
But it looks good. So
moving into TV news, ABC has announced a new Toy Story special. This one is set for Christmas later this year. It's called Toy Story That Time Forgot. So you remember the Halloween special last year was Toy Story of Terror. This one's Toy Story That Time Forgot. they continue making these specials. The Toy Story of Terror was wildly successful ratings wise. It was a half hour long, and this one looks to be a half hour long as well. I guess they actually didn't say if it's a half hour, or it'd be great if it was an hour. So there's going to be a new character introduced and called Reptilus Maximus, voiced by Grey's Anatomy's Kevin McKidd. I'm looking forward to it. Gotta love Toy Story. It keeps the franchise alive as we all look forward to Toy Story 4. No?
Yay.
Just me? Okay.
Yep.
I didn't see the first one of these TV specials, so I don't know.
It's not.
I don't think they didn't show it here.
Kind of.
I didn't really like it.
I like Toy Story a lot, but like I would have to buy the DVD,
really,
and it's so much effort.
Wait, have you not seen Toy Story 3?
I haven't seen the third one.
It's the best one.
That's what I thought.
It's so good, yeah. Josh. You'll cry. You'll cry, Josh.
I watched Toy Story 1 like a thousand times.
There was some Veronica Mars news as well. They're getting a spinoff just like everybody else. Tell us about that, Kyle.
I don't know anything about that. I just know that it's going to be a web series for a spinoff. It's going to be a web spinoff series and not a TV series. And it's going to be
the
based off
involved, right?
Someone else. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob Thomas is going to be involved. It'll feature Ryan Hansen.
Yeah, it'll be on CW Seed, which is like their web platform that they're trying to develop. And they had some good shows on there.
Oh, really? I was just going to ask. I had never heard of CW Seed
until
today.
They had Husbands was on there, which is a Jane Espenson who like writes for Once Upon a Time, and she did Buffy and various things.
Yeah.
That's like a web series that she does, which is actually really great. So people should watch that. They're trying to build it up. They only launched it last year. So... Okay. I guess this will be a big deal for them to try and boost it on that. The problem is, though, like there was a lot of trouble with people being able to view internationally. A lot of it was blocked to America, so I'm not sure what they're going to do about that for Veronica Mars.
Okay. I'm looking at the site. It looks nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good interface. They have it set up really well, actually.
They have a show called Stupid Hype. That should be our show name.
Yeah, that can be the outtakes.
Well, thank you for the insight into CWC.
I know stuff about web.
Right after Sherlock Series 3 finished airing in the UK, we learned via a report from The Sun, which isn't always reputable, but sometimes it is, that the BBC is aiming for Sherlock Series 4 to come back by this Christmas. And the plan would be to once again run it, I guess, right in that Christmas New Year time frame, since it worked out so well for them this past year. Which would be great, because the wait between series 2 and 3 was 2 years, which was just way too long. So hopefully they find enough time to film it sometime this year and then have it ready for Christmas.
And the actors aren't that busy enough that it's not a possibility either, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at their IMDb's, it looks like they have freer schedules compared to last year, but you just never know. There may be unannounced projects or whatnot, so I think maybe the
Martin
bigger
Freeman
challenge...
Martin has to film, like, 3 more Hobbit films, I think.
Yeah, I heard they're actually splitting the last one page by page.
It's going to be 1,400 more.
Yeah, he'll be living in New Zealand for the indefinite future.
I would assume the bigger challenge for them is making sure the schedule availabilities align for Martin and Benedict. So
it should. It seems like they just hang out together.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So I think everybody hopes that this comes back by the end of this year. That would be very great.
Please, yes.
Skip that story. Game of Thrones trailer was released for season 4. The show itself premieres April 6th. So, does anybody here watch Game of Thrones?
Yes. Oh, so good.
Why aren't you watching it?
Yeah, come on.
It's really good.
I watched the Red Wedding episode and then I watched the finale. So I think I'm just going to start from there.
Oh, you missed like some of the best parts.
I know, everybody says that, but I saw the Red Wedding.
Oh, my God. The trailer was so great. I'm so excited.
What was your, like, what are you most excited for?
I just get so excited because I have this policy with Game of Thrones where I don't read the, I read the book after the season.
Oh.
But, so I'm kind of up to date at the moment because this one is based off the end of book 3, which I have read, but I know they're bringing in some stuff from the future books, which I haven't read, because I like to watch the show and be surprised. And then I read the book after and I, like, catch up on what's happening in that. So it's just, I think the Red Wedding just showed, like, you never have any idea what's happening with these characters. Mm-hmm. And in this one, it looks like stuff is going on with Tyrion, who is totally in charge of everyone before, and now he's, like, in handcuffs, and just Jaime is coming back, and, oh, it's so exciting. It's just so exciting. You can't narrow it down.
Right?
Yeah.
My favorite part's going to be Daenerys. She's, like, my favorite character. So.
Oh, no, Arya, for sure.
Oh, Arya's amazing, but I think, like, Daenerys and her dragons, man. So
yeah, that's true.
And her army.
Yeah.
And her army.
She is great.
The show, for some reason, Hypeable does so well with Game of Thrones in Google, and we get people almost daily, but mostly on the weekend, searching for about Game of Thrones Season 4 because...
How to watch it online.
Yeah, or like, when does it come back? Because everybody's just so excited for that to come back. So
yeah,
I have to think that the season ratings-wise is going to be bigger than ever for Game of Thrones.
Or at least piracy-wise, it'll be number one again.
Yeah. And I know Mikhail just received Game of Thrones Season 3 on DVD Blu-ray. She's going to review it and... We're going to post the review the weekend before it hits store shelves. And we're also going to have a giveaway.
Yes.
So thanks to HBO for hooking us up with that.
Can employees join or sign in for one?
I mean, do it under a fake name, I guess. In other HBO news, they have a new show called Looking, it stars Jonathan Groff. And it's their gay drama. Remember when people got upset at me for calling it a gay drama?
Oh, yeah.
I wrote a review on Hypeable, cause I saw the first 3 or 4 episodes and it really is good. The first episode actually moves surprisingly slow, but then the 3 episodes after that really pick up and it gets interesting. So did you watch it, Kyle?
I did. I watched the first episode, mm-hmm. on Sunday. And I'm like, I like it kind of, but mm-hmm. I also don't like it at the same time because I feel like it's very stereotypical, like, oh, all the gays always have threesomes and hook up in the woods type.
Well, don't they?
Show. I mean,
that's my lifestyle.
And so it was just weird for me because I feel like they're just pushing off this vibe that all gays are like this.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that Jonathan Groff's character kind of like breaks that stereotype because he's the only one who doesn't seem like he's into that whole scene. So I'm hoping that and he's the main character. So I'm hoping that they focus more on him and not all the sexual escapades that the gays do in the Castro.
Well, all I'm going to say is Grindr is in his future.
Oh, God damn it.
It is, but I think it's a decent, I know exactly what you're saying, and I think maybe for the first episode, they just wanted to come out of the gate with that kind of stuff. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out long term, but I think it is good. There's some very interesting plot
lines. I was surprised that it was only a half hour long. That was surprising to me.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's just like...
Oh, weird.
It's just like Girls.
Oh, I want to catch up on this. It looks really cool.
Yeah, you should. But HBO, no commercials, so it's actually 30 minutes. You know, it's not like...
Not 22.
Right, it's not 22 like a regular TV show.
More time for me to look at Jonathan Groff's face.
Right.
And hopefully more of his body.
One more HBO story. The Newsroom has been renewed for a third and final season. So it's coming to an end, which kind of sucks.
I'm surprised.
Did it have good ratings?
Yeah, no, it did really well, I think.
It's been doing reasonably well.
I think it's more Aaron Sorkin is like, too busy to continue working on it.
And I mean, remember there was that drama about he like switched all of his writers in between season one and two. And
Yeah.
And then it took forever for it to finally to get renewed for a third season. And we learned after this renewal finally happened that Aaron Sorkin was busy finishing his screenplay for his Steve Jobs biopic. So this isn't going to premiere until the fall, which is later than normal. So at least we have we get to wait a little while before it ends. And I guess it's good that they are going to work towards an ending. That always benefits a show.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I am actually so excited for him to finish this up, because The West Wing is like one of my favorite shows. Mm-hmm. But Aaron Sorkin left during that. And so when it finished, it wasn't him like as the showrunner, because he had like various drug addictions. I think this will be cool to see like him finishing the show the way that he would like to.
Right.
And honestly, I mean, I think they could draw it out. I love The Newsroom, and they could draw it out for ages and ages, but maybe this is a good thing, because in a way there isn't like a huge amount more to do with those characters, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. They've all kind of gone over their storylines and gotten together and broke up and all that stuff, and they can't really do a lot more unless you introduce more characters. It's getting stale. It was getting stale at the end of season two with what you can do with them relationship wise.
I don't think it was getting stale, but I think like by the end of season three you'll have a satisfying conclusion without mm-hmm. feeling like it's dragged on, or mm-hmm. feeling like you were kind of you missed out on seeing the characters. So it found a really good balance in season two. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I think they should have done two more seasons and then ended it. It just seems three is so short for a big Aaron Sorkin successful drama.
But
like
I
this.
Would prefer three great
really
seasons.
Popular.
Yeah, true. But even if let's say this announcement was actually, okay, we're renewing it for two seasons and we're definitely ending after season four. He would still be working towards an ending. It would just be
That would be fine if they did that. I would assume that like he was working towards something, you know, for that. But because they're saying it's three, I hope that he said like that's it, and it's not the network saying, you know, we don't want anything else.
HBO is actually doing a bit of housekeeping. This year they are also ending Boardwalk Empire and True Blood. So
yeah,
getting
hard to
a bit
know.
Of a reboot. Which is good, because True Detective, like I mentioned, is really good. So they are capable of putting out some good new dramas. Boardwalk Empire is actually very good, I hear, and very successful ratings-wise. True Blood, though, the story has just fallen apart, and we'll see if they fix it for this final season. But I was hopeful about season six, and they screwed that up, too. So
maybe they can put What's-Her-Name back into X-Men, the X-Men movies.
Yeah, Anna Paquin.
Rogue. Yeah, Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
Stuff her back into X-Men.
There is, looking at what's coming up over the next few weeks, the American Horror Story Coven finale is upon us this Wednesday. Kyle, who is the Supreme?
Oh, it's got to be that boring girl. What's her name?
Zoe?
Zoe, yeah. It's totally her.
I want it to be Queenie.
Oh, come on. They've alluded to Zoe being the Supreme for, like, ever.
Yeah, but that would be predictable. What if nobody's the Supreme?
Oh, that'd be great.
American Horror Story Coven is actually really good, guys.
They all just die doing the Seven Wonders. Like, oh, well.
It's been a great season. I haven't watched American Horror Story 1 or 2, but I've heard one is the best, second is not that great, third is the second best. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, actually. Although I do love the characters in the second one, in Asylum. The characters are great, in my opinion, but the overall storyline is the best in season one.
I'll have to watch once this one ends.
My brother and his wife always tell me to watch it every week.
Yeah, it's an exciting show. It's very GIF worthy. There's always.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, all over Tumblr, there's a GIF of Allison Montgomery going, "Surprise, bitch! Bet you saw the last of me." And it's great because they use it on all the amazing different things, like J.K. Rowling and like just so many random ass characters.
It's a universal GIF.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up in theaters, we have That Awkward Moment, starring Zac Efron, Miles Teller, and Michael B. Jordan. So that'll be out January 31st. I saw that.
Was Damn that you, good?
Embargo. Yeah, it was good. Huh. The Monuments Men, that I'm really looking forward to.
I really want to see that.
That comes out February 7th. It stars like everyone. Great person.
Yeah.
That looks amazing.
So when?
George Clooney, Matt Damon, Bill Murray, Kate Blanchett, John Goodman, Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey.
Yes.
The Lego Movie comes out as well. Both Monuments Men and Lego Movie both come out February 7th. I can't get excited for the Lego Movie.
Oh, what? No. I'm excited for Lego.
The commercials freak me out.
I think it looks hysterical.
I always hear Morgan Freeman's voice or something.
It just doesn't look... I don't know. I used to love Legos, too, but...
Mm. Yeah, who doesn't love Lego?
I used to have a Lego set that like changed color with hot water, and so I'd take it into like the shower with me.
Wow.
Oh, we didn't have that technology in Australia.
We didn't either in New Jersey.
That's some fancy shit. Yeah.
So that's about that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. As always, visit Hypeable.com, where we're reporting on all these stories that we talked about today and many other things. You can visit the post announcing this episode to sound off in the comments. And feel free to leave some feedback there. Let's see. I'm looking at episode 21. What did people have to say? Hugh Bonneville was great in Notting Hill.
Right? Oh, he was.
He was amazing in that.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
He played Bernie, one of Hugh Grant's best friends. I don't know.
I totally forgot he was in that. Were we talking about him?
I guess so.
Oh. Yeah. We were mentioning his movies for some reason.
Kevin also wrote in, if everyone hates Transformers so much, why does each movie make $1 billion worldwide?
Because they're geniuses.
Because people
like
action.
One of the unanswerable questions, Kevin.
Yeah. I mean, people just love that kind of action. Shia
LaBeouf is just such an integrable, actor.
I think I'm the only one here who actually loves Transformers. Like, when the first movie came out, I bought it on DVD.
I loved it.
I actually saw the first movie twice, but I didn't pay for it either time.
Shia LaBeouf was in those movies, right? Or one of them or two?
Yeah, and then he went crazy.
Yeah. He got so much movie traction.
What is wrong with him? Oh, meanwhile, I was when I was traveling, I was doing this like quiz thing, and one of the questions was how to spell his name, and like no one knew.
Oh.
Too many vowels.
Yeah.
Did you hear he headbutted someone at a bar?
Yeah.
Was that before or after he plagiarized everything they'd ever said?
That was just like last night or night
before.
Yeah,
that was like a week ago.
Speaking of, the reason I mention him is because I got to witness one of his skywriting apologies.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited. I was just sitting outside at Starbucks and I saw these planes riding in the air and I'm like, what is that? And I think, I can't remember what it said. It was some hashtag.
Oh, it was stop creating.
Yes, yes. As I'm sitting there like writing on Hypeable.
Yeah.
So you see stop creating in the air.
I think it's just a total joke. I think everything, he's just doing it like a total spoof on everybody. And it's just
so bizarre.
He's going to be revealed.
Him and Justin Bieber are the new Amanda Bynes.
Oh, man.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, you can leave your comments in the post announcing this episode. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Josh Neely.
I'm Tara Kyle.
And I'm Mara Malach.
See you guys next time for episode 23. Goodbye.
Later.
Bye.